problem. Good afternoon. Welcome to your August 2nd Committee on Rules. A couple of things until we get a quorum. We are not going to move forward on 3108 today at this time. 3184 will be scheduled for a hearing tomorrow. There are two issues, and we're exploring one. The other has to do with conversations that are happening with one of your senators, one of mine, and a couple of House members.
Oh, yes.
So we're not going to move forward on that. So let's open a public hearing on House Bill 2285. Well, that reduces our crowd greatly.
Do we have one anchor?
Do we not have a sign-up sheet?
Okay. It was scheduled as a work
session. All right.
Session,
are you proponent of the bill, sir?
I'm an opponent.
All right. Do you mind waiting until we have a couple of proponents come forward to testify? Thank you. All right.
We're doing...
Ms. Gravy, 2285.
All right.
Anybody you have that you wish to testify in favor of the bill? Come on up.
Madam Chair, House Bill 2285 requires health professional regulatory boards to issue notices of intent before imposing disciplinary sanctions, and also to disclose all information obtained by the board in investigation of a complaint, similar to civil discovery.
Thank you. Ms. Gravy, Ms. Merriweather.
Senator Brown, members of the committee, my name is Susan Gravy with the Oregon State Bar, and I'm here today on behalf of the Administrative Law Section of the Oregon State Bar. They have proposed House Bill 2285A in its current version and would encourage your support of the bill. This bill works to improve due process protection for nurses, doctors, and other health care providers who face suspension or loss of their occupational license. At this point in time, regulatory boards who oversee their licenses are barred from disclosing information or evidence gathered during the investigation that they do not intend to use at the hearing. This means that evidence that would show that someone did not do something or would prove their innocence is not available to them. We feel that the lack of access to this information makes it very difficult for licensees to protect themselves and to evaluate the board's case against them or to prepare a defense. We feel that when their livelihood and their career is on the line, that this is a critical piece of information that they should have access to. We have worked with regulatory boards to ensure that confidential or privileged information continues to be protected, and we have also worked with them to address a number of their concerns regarding making sure that information regarding informant information is protected, making sure that information for complainants who will not be testifying at the hearing or contested case proceeding are exempt or protected under the current form of the bill. We do believe that this bill, the underlying purpose of this bill is to ensure due process protection for the licensees. At this point in time, the situation is such that we do have due process protections in our criminal courts. We have due process protections. A defendant is able to have information in the file that would prove that they did not commit a certain act or do a certain, perform certain actions. And so we urge your consideration of this bill. We urge your passage of this bill in its current form. We appreciate your taking the time to listen to our testimony today, and thank you. I'd be happy to answer any questions, and I understand Ms. Merriweather would like to make a few comments.
Ms. Merriweather.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Damiana Merriweather, Oregon Psychological Association. I'll be very brief. Ms. Gravy has already covered sort of the high points. I'm really here to represent the face of the sorts of licensed professionals whose livelihoods are impacted by the decisions that are made by these professional licensing boards. When the bar brought this proposal forward and I took it to my client and said, is this something you'd be interested in, I can't express to you the enthusiasm with which they embraced the idea that they've currently, without disclosure of the information in the files, a professional really is at the whim and mercy of the boards that oversee them. And it can be, as I'm sure all of you can imagine, an incredibly harrowing situation to be charged with something that could result in a loss of your capacity to perform your profession, one which you've studied and worked so hard for many, many years, and then not even be able to have access to the information collected in by that board so that you can prepare to defend yourself against charges. It's a tremendous feeling of helplessness and unfairness. And so we strongly, strongly support this as a positive step forward in providing some due process. This bill was amended in the House in response to concerns, I think legitimate concerns, that were brought forward by licensing boards in terms of protecting information of people about people who would come forward to provide testimony who may not be, who would not be testifying. This is particularly important in terms of protecting subordinates who may come forward to provide information. And we believe that the bill, as it was amended in the House, provides those appropriate and adequate protections for those individuals so that it won't have a chilling effect on individuals participating in investigative processes. So we urge you to support the bill as it came amended from the House. We think it strikes a balance between providing some more fairness to licensees while also protecting those people who provide important information and investigations. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions? All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate you joining us. All right. Who would like to come up? Come on up. Sorry, we don't have sign-up sheets because we scheduled these for work sessions. So,
I don't know. We just got it, so maybe don't write copies.
Madam Chair, welcome. Members of the committee, I'm Nan Heim, representing the Oregon Board of Medical Examiners, and with me from the Attorney General's office is Warren Foote, who is the AG for the Oregon Board of Medical Examiners. The board has had two major concerns about this bill, and I have to say that it was greatly improved in the House. We appreciate the bar negotiating with us to improve it. The two concerns that I have discussed with you, Madam Chair, are cost recovery, the additional costs of providing the information, and two, our investigators feel very strongly that they will have trouble assuring corroborative sources that the information they provide can be held in confidence. They are still concerned about that. And I do want to mention that the Board of Medical Examiners is not on a witch hunt. Their mission, which was established by the legislature, is to protect the public. It is made up mainly of doctors and now a podiatrist. And their job in statute is to protect the public, and that's what they do. So they do have concerns about this bill, and we would love it if you could address the cost recovery issue. And Mr. Foote will explain the concerns in more detail. Thank you.
Ms. Heim, just before you move on, a question for you. Do you know, and you may not know the answer to this, the amount of money that the board has in reserves to deal with sort of the cost recovery issues?
The board has a reserve, I think, of at least $2 million. However, because of the cash flow, the Ways and Means Committee has always said they need at least as much reserve as that.
Okay.
And they may have more than that.
Right.
But they do need a large reserve because of the cash flow.
Okay. Mr. Foote.
Thank you. And I wanted to, I'm Warren Foote, Madam Chair, with the Assistant Attorney General, and I am legal counsel for both the Board of Medical Examiners and the Board of Nursing. I wanted to emphasize that the Department of Justice remains neutral as to the merits of this bill, so I'm only speaking on behalf of my clients and on behalf of the Department of Justice as to that. But they do remain opposed. First of all, I wanted to point out that there is procedural due process protection provided in our present system, and this present system has been reviewed by the Court of Appeals, most recently in the Board of Nursing versus Corcoran, and upheld. But in terms of the specific reasons, sexual misconduct victims other victims are oftentimes patients. Other reporters are very reluctant to come forward. Many letters of complaint say, please, I want to remain anonymous. So there's a high level of concern by investigative staff from various health licensing boards that this will have a chilling effect on people coming forward. There is still a conspiracy of silence that exists that's been addressed in much of the literature in the area, and therefore anything the boards are fearful that may discourage complaints does not help the boards to fulfill their mission to protect the public. They're also concerned that releasing such expansive information from the investigative file will shift the focus from licensee conduct and public protection to investigator methodology. Unlike the public records law, there is no cost recovery mechanism specified in the bill. Most boards lack the authority to impose costs even after a contested case hearing. So do the cost recovery provisions of the public records law as it stands apply to requests made under House Bill 2285-6? It's not clear at this point. It would be a stretch to try to make that argument. I can't say it's categorically precluded, but it would be much appreciated that could be specifically addressed in this bill to make it clear that that cost recovery was possible. Finally, most cases are currently resolved by consent agreement. Presently, boards provide extensive discovery in terms of documents they intend to rely upon at a hearing prior to a hearing. But by way of example, for instance, in 2004, the Board of Medical Examiners issued 24 notices of intent to impose discipline. Only 4 of those cases went to hearing. So most are resolved by consent order. So the board believes that the current system significantly aids their effort to protect the public. The procedural due process protections are afforded to licensees, and ask that this bill not proceed from the committee. Thank you for the opportunity to testify today. I can certainly respond to any questions.
Question from the panel? Madam Chair, I have a question.
Sir, very early.
I think the thrust of this is to find the exculpatory information. Is there a way to make sure that the exculpatory information is available without compromising the issue of confidentiality or compromising your public protection mission?
Mm-hmm. Madam Chair, Mr. Vice Chair, I believe that the redaction provisions do go a long ways for protecting the identity of the complainant in the case. Also, point out in the current system, boards that are, it's basically a system of peer review by boards, fellow physicians or nurses or whatever the profession is reviewing the case, certainly don't have an interest in running licensees out of practice. And finally, it's incumbent upon my office, for instance, to ensure that justice is done in each and every case. It would be, I know that the other side will say, well, that means trust me, but the board don't have an interest in doing anything but ensuring that a fair process is done and that only those that are guilty of unprofessional and other conduct are taken to discipline.
Madam Chair.
Senator Farioli.
Every board and commission has the same charge if they have investigative powers. And yet there are anecdotal stories about information that are developed in investigations that even with the due process provisions are not made available because there's no discovery in the same sense that there is in a criminal case. How is it that we could assure ourselves that exculpatory information, if not the whole of the investigation, is made available to the respondents?
Madam Chair, Mr. Vice Chair, part of the frustration with the anecdotal accounts are that it's difficult to trace back and actually find out what the actual case is that's being complained upon. If we could have an actual concrete case name and go back and look at that, it would be a more real situation actually continuing, because sometimes it's like shadow boxing. It's because we don't have a real situation that's been presented. A case that was in the previous session rather notorious, Board of Nursing versus Corcoran, went before the Court of Appeals and was affirmed.
If I may, Madam Chair, Senator Farioli. It's my understanding that the Board of Medical Examiners does provide exculpatory information. I can't speak for the other boards.
I can only speak for my own personal practice because I am their legal counsel, and the Board of Medical Examiners does release those exculpatory documents prior to a contested case hearing. However, I can't report that that's the universal practice across the board for all health licensing boards.
And, Madam Chair, I think that's at the heart of the issue is a procedure that's reliable. It's utterly and absolutely reliable and, in fact, is the right upon which respondents can stand.
The only point I would like to add, Madam Chair, is that it can be very difficult to identify poor healthcare practitioners. And there is a concern among our investigators that this will make it more difficult. And we simply want to put that on the record.
Could you say that again?
That it can be difficult to identify poor healthcare practitioners for the reasons that Mr. Foote alluded to, that there is a conspiracy of silence, that people are afraid and reluctant to say anything. And we simply want to put our concern on the record. And as I think you and I talked, there really are two policy issues here that kind of run head on. The fairness question that you're emphasizing and our board's very real concern brought to them by the investigatory staff that they feel that this will make their job more difficult. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions? All right. I'm sorry. Anybody else before I close the public hearing? Mr. Gallant, did you want to come testify? Let's reopen the public hearing on House Bill.
I don't even remember the bill number 2285.
Senator Farioli, I got a vote.
Thank
I'm going
you.
To throw a vote. I'll be back in a few minutes, I hope.
Mr. Chair, for the record, my name is Scott Gallen. I'm with the Oregon Medical Association. I represent approximately 7,200 medical doctors and doctors of osteopathy. This issue has arisen previously in previous sessions when the current statutes were adopted, creating essentially a bifurcated system where boards essentially make a determination to pursue an investigation. That is phase one. Phase two, the board then, if a hearing is pursued, considers whether or not to seek disciplinary action. This bill attempts actually to create due process prior to the hearing process. I believe Mr. Foote indicated, Ms. Heim indicated, that the information, Senator, that you suggested is ultimately presented, I assume in a redacted form or some other form, at the hearing process. But those are, in fact, very rare. The issue that this bill is trying to address is prior to that, so a physician is able to make a better, or his counsel or her counsel, a better determination of what the accusations are. While the OMA is, well, let me go back a step. The reason I brought up history is that actually the OMA had proposed at one point about three sessions ago a much more aggressive approach to this. And I'm glad to learn that the Attorney General is neutral on the bill overall because they made it very clear that they were opposed to the language that we have proposed in the past. So we don't believe that this will, in fact, discourage complaints. There are clear provisions to enable boards to make sure that those who complain are protected, and that's appropriate. Oregon physicians, I think all licensees are obligated under law to, in fact, report their colleagues if there is a basis for potential disciplinary action, and they should do that, and we encourage our members, in fact, to do that. We don't believe this bill, in fact, does any harm. We also believe, at least in the case of the Board of Medical Examiners, they have adequate funding to cover the potential cost of this legislation. Thank you.
Questions, Mr. Gallen? Seeing none. Is there any other person here present that wishes to respond, rebut, or add to the record?
It's
If not, then we will close the... Is that a public hearing?
Just work session.
We will close the work session. And I believe the chair has excused herself momentarily to participate in the conference committee. The committee will rest at ease until the return of the chair.
I've looked briefly at the dash eights. I don't have them in front of me. But my understanding is they are to address the cost issue. The administrative law section of the state bar would like to go on record saying that they are not sure that this is the right approach at this time in this late data session to add an amendment to the bill that would require it to go over to have a concurrence in the House. We understand the concern, but you have heard testimony that there is money in reserves for the boards, and the BME is the largest board. We would encourage you to pass the bill out unamended and let us wait during the next interim to see what kind of data can be collected by the Department of Justice to see how this has affected licensing boards and if there is truly a problem that needs to be addressed. And we're willing and committed to working with all the interest groups to address this issue and others during the interim.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Graby. This does not just apply, though, to the BME and the Board of Nursing, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, with all due respect to the good Board of Medical Examiners, who's large enough and probably has some flexibility, my greater concern is the smaller boards, number one. Number two, I had Governor's legal counsel review the bill, and this amendment is at their suggestion. I am concerned if the amendment is not in the bill that the bill might rise to greater attention than it need be. I don't know that. I'm just throwing that out on the record. So maybe someone from the governor's office will come let us know here shortly.
The one, Senator Brown, members of the committee, if I could respond just briefly to that, the one concern that was raised by section members is that you're absolutely right. It's not just the Board of Medical Examiners. It affects all the other boards. Those other boards have smaller number of cases that are brought forward and pursued. What the issue is with the other boards that has been raised is that you have, for example, professions that you don't have as large an income stream as you would if you were a doctor or a nurse, perhaps, maybe you're a certified nurse's aide that makes minimum wage, and it's a little bit more difficult for that person to come up with the kind of funds that we're talking about up front. And that's the concern that we have with this amendment at this point in time. And again, like to stress that we're more than happy to work during the interim on any issue that may come up.
Okay. Ms. Heim, Mr. Gallant?
Madam Chair, and as a matter of accommodation, as I understand the message I'm hearing, I think the better part of discretion is to maybe accept the amendment, make sure that everything is fine on the House side, which we will try to do, and I think that would be a smart thing to do at this phase.
Ms. Heim.
Madam Chair, I'm sorry I hadn't seen this or I would have commented that we support this amendment. And the small boards that are not here and that were there in the House did express concern because they don't have the flexibility that we do to absorb costs.
All right.
Thank you.
If we put this amendment in, can we get the boards to help us get the bill passed on the House side, understanding that you need to hold your noses on it?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I have to check with, but I will make that recommendation to them that we at least sit back, having said that we are concerned and we might be back next session to say this isn't working, but I will recommend that we not actively oppose it.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank
Mr. Gallant, you wish to add anything else other than a smile?
Thank you very much.
Thank you. All right.
Thank you.
We're in work session. Chair would move the dash A7 amendments to House Bill 2285. Any discussion? Any objection?
I'll object.
Okay. Senator Atkinson objects. Anybody else? So ordered. Chair would move the bill to Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Any further discussion? Want to call the roll, please. Katie.
Yes.
Senator Ringo. Senator
Shields. Aye.
Vice Chair Farrell.
Aye.
Chair Brown.
Chair votes aye. Motion carries.
Don't look at me.
I'll carry it. I'm happy to carry the bill.
That's the big sister voice again.
Yes. All right. 31 away. Folks are talking on Senate Bill 1079. We're sitting over 3108 and 3184 till tomorrow. We have a conflict problem with 2828. That bill's not going to pass.
All right.
But this is for your information.
All right.
Ms. Taylor, you know this is not what you normally do, but thank you. Okay. Let's open a work session on House Bill 2828. Ms. Taylor.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, conflicts just brought in the A10. Oh, I'm sorry, for the record, Marjorie Taylor from Committee Services.
I know.
Nice.
Conflicts just brought to our attention that there is a conflict with the A10 amendment, and they are preparing the A11.
And the conflict is with Senate Bill 548.
Whatever I wrote on that paper for
Tiffany. All right. Okay.
And that little section.
Don't.
Sorry. Should we have them stop?
Yes.
Okay.
Great.
All right.
Any other questions?
No.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Just
Senator Atkinson.
Just have them stop.
What's going on with 2828?
2828, I'd like to move forward on the dash A10 amendments with 2828.
But they have conflicts.
Correct. The conflict is with Senate Bill 548, which involves a number of bills, including a death penalty expansion. I have been very clear to folks that yesterday was the death penalty expansion bill, and we are not going to do any more. Senate Bill 548 came out of the Senate Judiciary Committee, if I am correct. And the chair of the Judiciary Committee is opposed to the death penalty. I am confident that there will be a non-concurrence and the bill will go to conference committee. So that's why I don't feel like we need conflict amendments. Does that make sense? Okay.
Does this one expand the death penalty?
No, this one does not expand the death penalty.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. What we have before us are the dash A10 amendments, the basis of which Mr. Dole and Senator Przanski worked very hard on at my request to create a new... Aren't they out there?
We just got them.
You just got them. You want to take a look at them? Basically, they do they're one change from the dash A10s. At my request, Senators Przanski and I was going to say Senators Dole, Mr. Dole, worked to create a new crime, and the new crime is going to be called aggravated vehicular homicide. They did a really good job. I made one change, and that was from the dash A9s to the dash A10s, delete the three-time Dewey, that it would no longer become criminal aggravated vehicular homicide. That is the one change I made from the A9s to the A10s. Why don't we take a 10-minute recess? Everybody can take a look at the A10s and make a decision. They're narrower than the Crime Victims United wanted. I felt like this was a good start in terms of this particular crime. I'm very pleased with the work of Mr. Dole and Senator Przanski. What are you here for? Okay, let's take a 10-minute recess. Good afternoon, everyone. We're in work session on House Bill 2828. Chair would move the dash A10 amendments to House Bill 2828.
Right on.
Any discussion?
No.
Any objection?
No.
So ordered. Chair would move the bill as amended to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion?
Aye.
Any objection?
No.
So ordered. Who'd like to carry?
Not me.
Senator Atkinson, thank you for volunteering.
That's how work's done. I like it.
I hate to tell you this, but I think we're officially in recess for the evening.
Recess?
Correct.
For the evening.
There's one other outstanding issue. No. Let me check. If you don't hear from me in the next 10 or 15 minutes, you can be safe to go home.
If I don't hear
tomorrow
from you,
I'm going
to play up the freeway in a car.
Have we set anything? Probably earlier than that.
Like what? 10:45?
9. I know you need your beauty sleep, but you don't need that much beauty sleep,
no,
do you?
No.
We should probably go off the record while we're having this conversation.
No.
All right. We are in recess. We're adjourned. Senate rules to be continued.